Well, good morning, everyone. Morning, everyone. That's better. I just wanted to make sure you're still awake after your sleep in or lack of sleep for those of you who come normally to the 11 o'clock service. Out of the night that covers me, black as pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Heard those words before? Probably never heard them in church before. Any literary types among us? Care to shed any light on that? Yes? Oh, no, not quite Macbeth. No, a bit later. Not Kipling. No. I'll keep going unless we sort of want to make this a Trivial Pursuit question. William Ernest Henley wrote those words, if I remember correctly, in the late 1800s. The name of the poem wasn't named at the start, but later became known as Invictus, which you might have seen. And you may know that, or you may not know that William Ernest Henley was a well-known humanist. Not hard to pick up from his words, is it? And especially from those last two lines, which are actually quite well-known. You may have heard them before. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. There may be times when it appears that we are the masters of our fate or the captains of our soul. We may even eagerly desire that we are the masters of our fate and the captains of our soul. But nothing could be further from the truth. We are not in total control. And the reason why is because God is God. And God is a God who plans, and God is a God who calls people to that plan of His. God is a God who calls. And because God is a God who calls, that changes everything, such that we are no longer masters of our destiny and captains of our soul. In fact, maybe if we were to rewrite the last couple of lines, it would go something like this. Jesus is the master of my fate. And He alone is the captain of my soul. And for that I am eternally grateful. All through the Bible we see that God is a God who calls. He calls people. He calls nations. He calls groups. And we saw that in all the readings that we had. And I want to pay attention to some of those readings, or parts of those readings. And we see that the very first call that God makes is a call to follow. Have a look with me if you've got your Bibles there and jump to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. If not, you can just listen to me as I read this. And Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. As Jesus was walking along beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Do you see the clear references to the callings there? Jesus calls out to these men and says, follow me. Literally, Jesus says, walk after me. The first thing God calls people to is to follow him. And if we're to follow him, we are not the masters of our own fate, are we? We are not the captains of our own soul if we follow Christ. I don't know if you have noticed, you might from now on, but I try not to talk very much about being a Christian. The reason being is because the word Christian often has so much baggage attached to it, doesn't it? We can all think of examples of people who claim to be Christians and then live in a life that doesn't even seem to match up at all. Or the other idea of being a Christian sort of almost implies that there's this state, I'm a Christian, and that's it, stagnation. Rather, what I like to talk about and what I try and use is the phrase follower of Jesus. You might think, well, what's the big deal? Well, a couple of things. One, being a follower of Jesus actually implies movement, doesn't it? Being a follower of Jesus means that it's not about hoops. It's not about saying, oh, well, I'm baptized. I'm baptized in the Anglican Church, therefore I'm a Christian. No, it talks about a response. I follow Jesus. He called me. I heard it. And I respond to it. We see that idea of being called to follow Jesus also in the Romans passage. In fact, in the Romans passage, if you jump to it, the word call comes up several times. But have a look at the reference to it in the second part of verse 5. Actually, we'll read the whole of verse 5. Through Jesus, for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles. Did you notice that? To call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. God calls people. First, he called the nation of Israel. And then he calls all people to follow him, to follow his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all over the world. And that includes us here today. That's the first thing that we need to be sure of. In fact, let me stop there for a second and say this. Have you responded to that call? When Jesus says, follow me, have you? Are you a follower of Jesus? Is Jesus in front and you're right behind him in his footsteps? Because that's the most important call of all. That's the first call and that's the most important call. We are called to be followers of Jesus. And if you can't answer yes to that, then please come and see me. Because we need to talk. If you do answer yes to that, then guess what? There's another calling to live that life that you have been called to. Again, it shows us that we're not the masters of our own destiny or the captains of our own soul. In fact, we're to live a life worthy of being called a follower of Jesus. There's a number of passages that speak about that, but we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Do you see it there? To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Called to be saints. Please don't get confused. When you see the word saints, it is not what humanity has done in raising people up to this status where they become saint so-and-so. It's not that. A saint is one of God's holy people. A saint is someone who follows after the Lord Jesus. A saint is someone who lives a life worthy of the calling of being a follower of Jesus. A saint is someone who's been washed in the blood of Jesus. so that they are holy and pure and spotless and blameless. That's what a saint is. So if you're a follower of Jesus and you are following him, guess what? You're a saint. And you deliver life worthy of that title. There's lots of scriptures that point to that, but the one I chose for today was what the Apostle Peter said to those to whom he was writing. Have a look with me if you can. Jump over to 1 Peter chapter 3. And look what he says beginning at verse 8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing, and so on and so forth. Did you see it? To be like-minded, to be sympathetic, to love one another, to be compassionate, to be humble, to not repay evil for evil, to not insult one another, but rather to be God's holy people. Can you see how being called to that life is so different to the world around us? And in fact, if it's not different, then there's a problem. It's so different. It would be an anathema. I love that word, by the way, because I think it carries the stupidity and the illogical status. It would be an anathema to claim to follow the Lord Jesus and then live in such a way that you say, well, that's what the world holds dear. To repay insult with insult, evil with evil, to not be sympathetic to one another and so on and so forth. But we're not called to that. And in fact, we're called to not only be that, but to not do it in isolation either. We're actually called to be a body, to be a family. All through the Bible, God calls his people to gather together. The very first instance is actually around Mount Sinai. He calls the people that he has just saved from Egypt, and he calls them to gather around Mount Sinai. And then all through the Bible, he calls his people, his saints, his holy people, to continue to gather. All through the New Testament, you see it. Consider this. In the New Testament, you see the first church always gathering. They gathered in the synagogues. They gathered in people's homes. There's even one reference of them gathering at the river. They gathered in the cities, they gathered in the towns. They gathered together. God is a God who calls his people to gather. We see that also in the book of Hebrews. Let me read this out for you. This very famous passage from Hebrews 10. And let us consider how to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's that living the life that we're called to, isn't it? And then it says, and not give up meeting together, gathering together, as some are in the habit of doing. Even the very word church carries the idea of gathering. The word church, from the Greek word ekklesia, means the called out ones. The called out ones. The ones called out of darkness and out of this world to be God's people and to be part of God's kingdom. That's what it means. That's why we can say church doesn't mean the building. It means the people of God who are called out and who gather together. But they don't just gather together, they just sit there. They're then called to go back out again. Gathered together and then called to go back out again. Peter shows us this. In that passage that was just read for us, what did he say? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back out in the world and be ready to give that answer. And then Jesus himself, in that classic passage, that famous passage from the end of Matthew, what does he say to his disciples? What does he say to all who follow him? Go into all the world and make disciples. We're called to gather together and we're called to then go back out. In fact, God even calls people sometimes to specific tasks. The Apostle Paul, did you notice at the beginning of Romans chapter 1? Let me just read it for you. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. So Paul was called to the specific task of being an apostle to the Gentiles. And again, all through the scriptures, you see God calling people to specific tasks. We are not the masters of our own fate. We are not the captains of our soul. Look, this is just a very brief summary of all the calls that there are in the scriptures. But did you notice? We are called to follow Jesus. We're called to be holy. We're called to gather together. We're called to go back out again. We're called to specific tasks at time. That's just a small part. I could have mentioned things like how we're called to be generous. We're called to be sacrificial. We're called to use our spiritual gifts. We're called to give glory to God in everything. We're called to possibly suffer for the name of Jesus. We're called to possibly die for the name of Jesus. We're called to be prayerful in all things. We're called to dot, dot, dot. If you read the scriptures, the list is long, but there is one focus. We are called to be part of God's kingdom and God's kingdom purposes. That's what we're called to. So here's the big question. Can you see that call on your life? Can you see that call on your life? Can you see how you're called to follow Jesus and to be one of his holy people? Can you see how you're called to be part of his body? Can you see how you're called to go back out and to be witnesses in the world and so on and so forth? Can you see that? And it's important that we think about that on a day such as today, our AGM, our sort of vision of where we've been and where we're going, because God calls. And because God calls, that changes everything. It's not about what we want. It's what God calls us to. We are not the masters of our own destiny or the captains of our own soul. And so that means it changes everything for us as individuals. It means it changes everything for us as a ministry team, the staff here in this parish. It's not about what we want, it's about what God calls us to. It's not about what we want as a parish, it's about what God calls us to. I don't believe in accidents. I believe God calls. I don't believe that you are here by accident. God calls us together, and he has called together this parish. And I often talk about how he's called us together as a multi-centered, multi-congregational, multi-generational parish. If you haven't heard those before, or if you have heard that phrase and you've forgotten what it means, this is what it means, briefly. We are multi-centered. We have a number of centres: Christchurch, Holy Trinity, St. Stephen's, and we're working with the Strathfield Say Uniting Church. We are multi-congregational. We are not one congregation in each place. We are multi-congregational. Sometimes you may not be able to see that. You might not be able to see God's grace. For instance, if you come from one of the smaller congregations, take, for instance, Wednesday, 10 a.m. here at Holy Trinity, you wouldn't see what I see this morning. And you might think, well, I see the majority of these people every Sunday. What's this whole idea of multi-congregational and such like that? Well, can I say, I can look around here and I can see who's not here. I can't physically see who's not here, but you know what I mean. I can look around and I can say, wow, if all of the people who are actually part of this parish were here this morning, we could not fit in here. And if you don't believe me on that, come and spend a month with me. And come and see God's grace. Come and see God's grace. We're also multi-generational. Again, you may be in a congregation that doesn't see all the generations represented, but they're there. Look at the stats that are in those AGM booklets. Look at how, I think if I remember rightly, I'll have to check the figures now, I think it's something like 37% of our parish is under the age of 35. What a great stat. You won't see that in the 10 a.m. service on Wednesday at Holy Trinity. It's a different congregation. Come along to one of the other ones and you'll see it. We are called together under the banner of Southeast Bendigo, but we are not called to just sit and be comfortable. God has a calling on this parish, and so much of the calling actually has to do with the people who aren't here this morning. We are called to be witnesses to people who aren't here this morning, who don't yet know the name of Jesus and who are not yet followers of Jesus. We're called to take up our surfboards, as it were, and surf the waves that God is creating. That's an image that I used a number of years ago in an AGM. It was an image that I thought that God gave me at that time, and a number of people told me afterwards it was a very appropriate image. In fact, they actually thought God gave them that image at different times too. God is a God who makes waves. It's not about us. He's the one who makes waves, and we're told to be faithful. We're called to surf those waves, as it were. And those waves are gathering. They're gathering momentum. Consider this. 12 months ago, we were talking about Strathfield Say Emu Creek. In fact, 24 months ago, we were talking about Strathfield Say Emu Creek. There is now a resident full-time ministry leader in Strathfield Say Emu Creek. No other part of the parish, no other parish in this diocese has a concentration of ministry leadership in such a small place. God has blessed us through Steve. We should be giving thanks to that. And you know what? The majority of you will not see it. You won't see it because you're not in that part. And that's okay. In the same way, as many of you probably don't see some of the university ministry and the young adults ministry that's growing. It's growing. It's still small, but it's growing. The young adults particularly are getting organized and focused. Once again, we're blessed by the ministry of Rob Imberger, who focuses particularly on that area and a number of other areas too. But again, some of you may not see that. Family ministry. The ministry to families is still growing. It's the largest congregation. Family Church here at Holy Trinity is the largest congregation in the whole parish. And the congregation at Strathfield Say is growing. And we should be giving thanks to people like Rob Edwards and the effort and the time that he puts into that. And seniors ministry, there's a wave. Whoa, the potential of that wave is huge. And so it's been my role to try and work with Jeff and to try and get him to engage more in that ministry. We should be giving thanks for that. God is creating waves that we're called to surf. We may not see all those waves, that's okay. But that's what God is doing. And we are called to both directly and indirectly be involved in that. Sometimes things get choppy. Anyone who has anything to do with the ocean can tell you that sometimes things get choppy. There's teething problems when you try new things. Things don't always go smoothly. Sometimes things that we've been doing for a while need to be tweaked. Finances can be tight. People move and you have to start all over again. And sometimes it's our own stubbornness that gets in the way. But we are still called to surf those waves, as it were. And none of this is by chance, and none of it is by our own efforts. We are not masters of our own destiny and captains of our own soul. It is God's plan, and God calls us to be part of it. It is such a privilege to be part of God's plans and God's kingdom purposes. Friends, if you think it's a drudgery, if you think it's boring, then I actually am going to ask, have you understood God's call on your life and what he has called you to? Because it is such a privilege, it is such an honour to be called a child of the living God and then to play a part in his kingdom purposes, which will last forever and ever, amen. We are called to be followers of Jesus, called to be holy, called to serve and love one another, to gather, to go out, to get on board, pick up surfboards. That's what we're called to. I've been here for 5 years now. I believe I've been called to lead this parish. I've not been called to keep things going. I've been called to keep things growing. There's a whole world of difference there. I believe I've been called to lead this parish and not just keep things going, but keep things growing. Do you trust me in that? Because I believe, this is what I believe. I believe God has called us to follow him and to follow his son, the Lord Jesus. I believe that God calls us to be holy people. I believe that God calls us to worship him and him alone. I believe that God calls us to gather and then to go back out and to be his witnesses for change, his instruments for change in this world. I believe that God calls us together as a parish, the parish of Southeast Bendigo. I believe that God's calling us to play our role in this parish and that he calls us to do different things within the parish and out in the world. And I believe God's calling us to keep going even when it gets choppy. Even when we get dumped occasionally, I believe that God is calling me to lead you in that. That's what I believe. What do you believe? Do you believe that you are the master of your own soul and the captain of your own fate? Or the other way around? Do you recognize God's call upon your life? Will you sign up to that? I've told you what I believe. What do you believe? What do you believe you are called to do? Do you believe that you're called to follow him? Do you believe that you are called to live for him? Do you believe that you are called to be part of this parish? And do you believe that you're called to be part of the kingdom purposes that God has for this parish? Well, if so, if the answer to that is yes, then I'm actually going to ask you to make a stand and do that. If the answer is no, then fine. In fact, I'm going to actually ask you to literally stand. If you believe that God has called you to be a follower of his son, the Lord Jesus, and God has a call upon your life and has called you to be part of this parish, and the part of the purposes of this parish and the kingdom purposes of this parish, if you believe God has called you to that, then I'm actually going to ask you to stand and commit yourself to it. And if you're a visitor, please feel free to stay seated. Or if you don't believe it, then please stay seated. But for the rest of us, let's stand if we believe that that's what God's called us to do. And what I'd ask us to do is let's commit ourselves in prayer. Have a look up on the screen. I'll give you a moment to read it. And then if you could go to the next slide for me, please, Alan. And if you still agree with that, we'll go back to the first slide and say it with me. Lord God, I commit myself to your call on my life. I commit myself to living for you and your kingdom. I commit myself to call you this parish. I commit myself to the leadership you have called to lead this parish. I commit myself to give to the work of this parish my money, time and effort. I commit myself to be prayerful about this. I commit myself to your glory alone. Lord God, I once again commit myself to your call on my life. Amen. Thanks, Robert.